are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Alrighty, so essentially we're in the third and final hour of the show, as I had stated. Very excited to be getting into this conversation about God's forgiveness. You know, I think like sometimes I've said this before in like the early stages of me standing in for shows, that like most of the time I feel like the content is targeted towards me specifically. Like, and this is not to say like, you know, wow, they write it for me. But definitely if you are not changed by the words that you are reading, then yeah, they might be a problem, you know. So right now I'm really excited to be getting into this conversation because, you know, God's forgiveness is a very interesting and intriguing conversation. And Pastor Ian will be joining us on the line shortly. And essentially, we're going to be discussing the concept of forgiveness. All right. Just a moment. I just need to get our pastor again on the line. Right. Great. The concept of forgiveness lies at the heart of Christian faith and is deeply rooted in the character of teachings of Jesus Christ. Central to Christianity is the belief that all human beings are sinners in need of forgiveness, and that God, in His infinite love and mercy, offers forgiveness and reconciliation through Jesus Christ. This is what we're going to be talking about with Pastor Ian, who has now joined us on the line. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Well, by God's grace, I am fine.
Thank you so much.
Not knowing you and the list of the listeners out there.
Ah, thank you so much, Pastor Ian, for joining us here on Adventist World Radio, SID Media on Meet Morning Empowerment. I was just telling our listeners that we're going to be looking at our daily focus, which is God's forgiveness, and just giving them some, you know, context into what our discussion is going to be about. And essentially looking at how, you know, forgiveness is a fundamental part of the Christian faith. But we can dive straight into our discourse by starting with the first question, which says, how does the concept of forgiveness reflect the character of God as revealed in the life and teachings of Jesus Christ?
Thank you so much. As we discussed yesterday, that forgiveness comes from God, and He is the initiator of the action. Now, one thing that maybe I might also need to mention, even as we talk about forgiveness today,
right,
is that the word forgiveness, it's a verb. It calls for action.
Word.
Yes. And we saw how God was moved. He did not just ending up by saying, I love the people that I created in my own image. And by messing up, by abrogating His law, He loved us. And by loving us, He showed the end product of love. And the end product of love is exactly what we are discussing about God's forgiveness today. So it's actually an attribute that shows that God loves us, and for Him to show that He loves us, He forgave our sins.
Right.
Fourthly, He was able to forgive us of all our trespasses, even before we realized that we have sinned against Him.
Right.
Remember in the book of in the Garden of Eden, when our first parents sinned, it was not Adam and Eve who went to look for God, but it was God who was longed, who went to look for Adam and Eve, who longed Him. And by looking at this concept of forgiveness, as we look at the forgiveness of God, we are actually seeing now God in action, that He takes an action of searching for a person who has longed Him. And this is exactly what we see in the attribute of what God portrayed and what example he gave unto us. Maybe just a further quick quotation from the Bible passage.
Right.
Yesterday we laid in the book of Matthew's 14 and 15, where we saw the condition being given to say, but verse 15 of chapter 6, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, in the same book, Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, has something to say as Jesus was giving an example of how serious forgiveness is.
Mm.
Just allow me to come to the passage. Yes, 35. Winds up to chapter 18 in this manner. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not only one his brother their trespasses. Meaning that we live with people or with human beings as we are human beings. And when we say we want God to forgive us, where do we show that we are like God with the people we live with? And this is the whole reason as to why Jesus Christ gave this parable from 21 when Peter came to Jesus Christ to ask him to say, how many times should I continue to forgive my brother or my sister who sinned against me?
Mm.
And to the Pharisees, they were able to forgive three times in a day. When you wrong them, they're able to forgive you for three times in a day. But when you go beyond three times of stepping on their toes,
right,
the fourth time will not forgive you.
Hmm.
They will now take an action to say, this is beyond. And they will take an action of punishing you and never to forgive you.
Hmm.
And this is the parable where we find now Jesus Christ giving to the faithful and unfaithful servant who was owing. Maybe before I go to that end, let me not close you up.
Close me up. well, you know, yes, I was about to say, Pastor, you're getting into all the other questions that I have. I think it might just become a sermon instead of us having a discourse. But let me get straight into, thank you so much for that, explanation as well. And also giving us some Bible explanations or teachings that support it. What role, I feel like I know the answer to this question, but I think in briefness, for those who may misunderstand, God's sacrifice, what role does Jesus Christ playing, or what role does Jesus Christ play in facilitating forgiveness between humanity and God? And how does his sacrificial death serve as the ultimate expression for God's forgiveness?
Okay, thank you so much. The death of Jesus Christ serves us with much more of, just as I mentioned earlier on to say, in the Garden of Eden, when our first parent sinned, it was God who took an action to search for a man who had wronged him.
Hmm.
Now, we remember well as Abraham was commanded by God to sacrifice his own son Isaac,
right,
as a burnt sin offering for the atonement of the sins.
Mm.
Now, Abraham was commanded to sacrifice his own son as a way of showing that Christ will come and die for all humanity, meaning that for us to obtain the unmerited favor, the grace of God, we but then we are looked after in order for us to have this opportunity. And this is exactly what we see in the death of Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ, by coming to die for mankind. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are with you, Pastor.
Are you there?
We are definitely here.
All right. Yes. I thought maybe I was lost.
No.
Yes. Mm-hmm. By Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary, serves much more significance or importance in the relation how God wants us to live with one another, even as we are waiting for his second return.
Right.
Meaning that God could not just sit quietly and he could have that peace of mind. Mm. But for him to have the peace of mind and the joy and the happiness, his son was to come and die for humanity.
Hmm.
And therefore, in the relation that how the death of Jesus Christ saves you and me, saves us much more that we can be able to realize that we deserve that death, not by paying something, but by creation.
Right.
Yes. So meaning we need to understand who we are. And when we understand who we are, that we are created in the image of God, therefore we are the photocopy in simpler terms, so to say. We are representing God's image, and we cannot live our outside the image of God after his own likeness.
Right.
And for us to appreciate the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, we must be able to come to the point where we understand fully why Jesus Christ came to die for us, and that at the end of the day, we too, we can have the dominion even to be restored back to the true image of God.
Right, right. But also, the, I guess the follow-up question to that would be, how does then this forgiveness offered by God differ from, you know, the human notion of forgiveness? And what are the implications, or what implications does this have on believers in general?
Thank you so much. The forgiveness that God has given us and that he has shown us through the death of Jesus Christ deepen our faith to say, for us to trust that in the future, our debtor will not be able to come back to us to say he is not forgiven. There must be actions that are coupled with. And these actions are to continually forgiving a person who wrongs us. Now, that brings us now to the concept Jesus Christ gave Peter and the listeners to say, I did not say that you forgive your brother 7 times, but I said you should be able to forgive your brother 70 times 7. Meaning that for us to understand this, that we need to give out to those that the sin against us or our offenders, just as we go in prayer to God to say we want God to forgive our sins on a daily basis, because we are carnal-minded human beings. We sin daily. We are not perfect. And forth hence, we realize we are not perfect. We need the forgiveness of God on a daily basis in order for us to not only to behave, but also to show the attributes of forgiveness amongst our brothers and sisters that we live with. Then going beyond that, we would now find to say in order for us to find happiness, a true happiness, we are able to risk to become, to be used as the conduit who are showing what God had to do on the cross of Calvary through the death of Jesus Christ.
And looking at the death of Jesus Christ, in what ways does that example of forgiveness challenge the cultural norms of societal expectations regarding forgiveness?
Thank you so much. When we look at the cultural norms and the expectation from the society, number one, we must be factual or very truthful to the situation. In our society, if you catch the thief stealing, the first thing that comes in the mind of the way we live in our society, take this person who is stealing from you to the police.
Right.
And the police are enforcers of the law.
True.
According to our tradition or according to the culture. But then, from the perspective of the biblical perspective, right there, even before you take the thieves to the police or wherever for him to be judged, you forgive that person and tell him to say, I have caught you stealing my properties or my things, but I want to say, I will not punish you because I have forgiven you. And this is the process in which our culture or our norms, which do not accept to behave that way. So it really challenges that as being human, whenever you are facing through a painful moment, we want to see that a person who has caused us to feel that pain, him too must face the same pain in the similar manner or maybe worse than that.
Right.
Meaning that it, in confrontation with the forgiveness God exemplarily gave unto us through the death of Jesus Christ.
I think there's a lot of weight on the death of Jesus Christ that we don't really acknowledge or see all the time.
Yes. In fact, maybe just to say something, we are almost winding up, I know. One thing that we need to understand is that for us to live or to behave or to trust, to forgive someone or to show that we have forgiven a person, we must understand to say in the first place, we are already forgiven our sins by God even before we go to ask him of our sins. Before we go and confess, our sins are already declared to say it is paid off. You, there is no need of you to live in denial. Therefore, accept that your sins have been done what? Have been forgiven by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Then furthermore, the relationship between faith without works, we say it is dead. And for us to show that we live by faith, we must trust our enemies, that for them to change, we must have full trust in God to change their habits and their hearts, that them too, through the Holy Spirit, they can be changed and become better human beings. Now, that is about future, to look things in the futuristic way. And for us to appreciate that aspect of life, we must understand to say, we can't give what we do not have. We can only manage to give what we have in regards to forgiveness. And for us to clearly indicate that we have forgiven the person, we are to let go, even as we engage ourselves into prayer, that through the Holy Spirit, God can be able to work miracles, and through his divine power, we can see the relationship becoming more sweet with our offenders.
And
You know, as you said, Pastor, we're coming to a close of this conversation, but I still have two more questions just to get through just before we, finally wrap this conversation on God's forgiveness. How does forgiveness contribute to the process of reconciliation between God and humanity? I think, this is on a grand scheme, and how does it foster healing and restoration to broken relationships? Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I genuinely would like to know how that is a contributing factor to restoration of broken relationships.
First and foremost, the relationship that is always, maybe it's on locks, the sour relationship, we are no longer enjoying the privilege of our relationship that we first had. Allow me to give the in the closets of the married people. For the married people, for them to enjoy their marriage life, they need to have a sweet communication between the spouses. And for them to have that sweet communication, it simply means their relationship is well built, well sounded. Therefore, in order for ourselves to picture ourselves into the reconciliation process of how forgiveness facilitates is that in order for us to indicate that we still need each other, there must be forgiveness, letting go of resentment, letting go of hate speeches, letting go of our pain, that in order for us to enjoy our relationship, we must be able to come to the point to say, yes, I know this person has wronged me, but in order for me to live in a peaceful environment and for me to heal my soul, I need just to let go of the past. By the way, you cannot change the past, but you have the power to change the future. And since what happened has happened, a person wronged you, the only thing for you to change the future, in order for you to win one another, there must be forgiveness that leads to forgive for reconciliation. And you come to the lounge table where you sit and be able to reason to one another. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ gave just after the question Peter posed, for him to say, you must go to a person who has wronged you and talk to it to a person who has wronged you, so that if you manage to win him, then if you manage to convince him, you have won your brother into the kingdom of God, and right. You have the celebration. But if you don't, right. Meaning try to avoid, put boundaries to a person who has wronged you. But even when Christ is talking about the issues of boundary in the book of Matthews, he is actually talking about the boundaries in order to allow the unmerited favor of God to be seen. Maybe in the future, this person, by God's grace, can still change, so that we can still reconcile and go back to our relationship that we had with each other from our beginning.
Right, right. And I think that's how we then, I thought I had a final question, but I think this is more of a statement, and you can, sort of add to it and summarize. But I was going to say, essentially what this means is that in order for us to have genuine forgiveness between our peers and one another, you said an example of a married couple, it is for us to follow the example from Colossians 3 verse 13, which says, as the Lord forgives you. And I think that is a very weighting burden, because sometimes I feel like, it's okay, I don't need to forgive, it's not that deep. And it's like, okay, so then now how do you expect God to forgive you? And so I just want to, I guess, finally just ask, how does the standard of forgiveness shape, the intentions or our interactions rather with one another?
And for example, if we were to meet on the street, we do not know each other. Usually our conversations, just if I am looking, for example, maybe where to buy some basic needs, then I'll bump into you and ask you, for example, to say, please, my sister assist me where I can buy some few groceries here and there. I do not know even any shop.
Right.
So our interaction will just end on those circles.
Mm-hmm.
But when we realize that we are social human beings,
mm-hmm.
we need one another.
Mm-hmm.
There could be some challenges that one is going through in life, but you still need to talk to someone that may help you how to overcome that challenge you are going through. Therefore, there is no need to make enemies to the point where you even fail to forgive their trespasses that they might have stepped on your toes.
Mm.
And this is the encouragement we find in the Word of God to say, bearing with one another. Now, bearing, it's a continuous thing. It's not one-day process to say, okay, today I'll bear with you, tomorrow I'll not bear with you. Just as Christ forgave our sins, hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to finish the last part of where Christ mentioned much more of the unfaithful servant who went back and found a person who was owing him and he was not able to forgive him, while him was forgiven. And now the punishment that Christ, when he heard about it and the way he narrated that parable,
right,
it's quite something which is quite huge in order for us to appreciate our social being as human beings, in order that we may be able to talk to each other the way God wants us to relate to each other.
I think tomorrow will be a more extensive conversation, and you know, we'll be continuing with this conversation of forgiveness and God's forgiveness. But thank you so much, Pastor Ian, for joining us today to, you know, go through some of these few questions that we have, and we look forward to continuing our conversation tomorrow. Until then, have a blessed day, Pastor.
Thank you so much, and I want to also to say to our listening viewer to say, have the blessed day. In case we may not tackle your questions, please pray that we may be able to say something about your situation and how you can be able to come out of it, so that at the end of the day, you may not just view the blessings of God from afar, but they may also come in your personal life.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pastor Ian. We will be with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Praise same to you. Have a lovely day and a blessed one.
Thank you. And that was Pastor Ian on the line joining us to discuss God's forgiveness. Our daily focus or weekly focus this week is forgiveness and God's forgiveness, and essentially just digressing more into that conversation from yesterday, and it'll be continuing again tomorrow. But, you know, for right now, we're going to take a short interval, and when we come back, we are going to be talking to Pastor Robert, or rather, Pastor Robert will be giving us our devotional series for today. Very excited for that, because I myself have not had devotion yet today, and I am looking forward to having this devotion. So those of you who haven't, like me, had your daily devotion, join us with your Bibles in a few seconds, and we will be getting straight into that conversation. Stay tuned with us. We'll be right back.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.